Thank you for inviting me this evening. It's nice to be here again with you. And we're going to turn this evening to John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. It will be a well-known chapter to you, I'm sure. And we'll just see if we can learn a few things or just remind our hearts of what the Lord will have to say to us through this chapter this evening. We're going to read from verse number 19. Remember in the beginning of the chapter, after the resurrection, that says in verse 1 of chapter 20, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." And we know, don't we, how that the Lord revealed himself to her. And then in verse 18, we read, "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when they had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, after his and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And we know, don't we, the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word, as he always does. Before we go any further, we'll just have a brief word of prayer and just seek the Lord's help as we go through these verses together this evening. Our Father, we give thanks for the opportunity of coming together here this evening. We thank thee, our Father, for the meeting that has been convened for us to look into thy word and to, our Father, glean a few truths from it. We trust for each one gathered in this evening. We pray, Father, that we might just have that fresh appreciation this evening, our Father, that the Bible, thy word, is truth. And, our Father, we give thanks that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to each one of us here this evening. And we pray, Father, that we must apply it to our hearts and to our lives individually and corporately this evening, our Father, that we may each one be blessed as we consider thy word together. And so, Father, we just pray for thy help. We pray, Father, for the speaker and hearer alike, our Father, that each one might be helped by thee, our Father, led by thy Spirit, and just undertake for us, we do pray this evening, as we give thee our thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I've been enjoying John's Gospel just recently, and just reminding myself really of just what a wonderful Saviour we have. I was reading it through just this last week, and very often, I made the point of, when I read it, of each time the Lord's name was mentioned, I would change that name and just put in the words, my Saviour. And it just became more real to me as I read it. Each time I spoke of the Lord, I read of the Lord, I just tried to apply it more personally to me. That this person who we read of in John's Gospel, doing so many wonderful things, revealing the heart of God to those around him, that one you and I can call my Saviour and my Lord, as we'll see later on that Thomas did as well. He said, my Lord and my God. And it's a lovely book, as are all the Gospels. But, you know, it's good to remind ourselves as well the reason why John's Gospel was written. And we read that together, didn't we, in the last verse of the chapter we read together. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And it's good, isn't it, to remind our hearts that that is the very reason why these things are written down for us. That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I trust that each one here this evening, I trust we all have accepted Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and that we can truly say that we know him personally this evening. And I just want to just share a few thoughts through this chapter this evening. Nothing will be new to you this evening. You would have probably heard it all before. But it's good, isn't it, just to remind our hearts of these things. And just want to start really from verse 19. Down to the end of the chapter, we'll see how far we go this evening. And the same day, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. We can only imagine, can't we, what the disciples were feeling on that Sunday evening, after all that had happened. And you know, many times the Lord had spoken to them concerning his death, concerning his resurrection, but I wonder just how much they really understood as to the reality of his resurrection, really. Many times the Lord, it was obvious, wasn't it? They just didn't understand what he was saying to them on many occasions. And they were in fear of the Jews. They'd already put their Lord to death, and they were probably in fear because they knew that the Lord had been resurrected. His body was no longer there, and no doubt the disciples were in fear that perhaps they may come looking for him and for them, and so they were here shut up in this room. And then Jesus comes and stands in the midst of them. Can you imagine the feeling of their hearts on that occasion? I'm sure there's times in your lives when perhaps you felt a little bit shaky, a little bit uncertain, a little bit unstable because things around you perhaps are falling apart or whatever it may be. And it's always good, isn't it, when the Lord Jesus Christ turns up. Perhaps I shouldn't use that phrase really, because he never turns up, he's always there. It's just the fact that we don't see him, we don't appreciate him, because our focus is on the wrong thing. Our focus is in the wrong place. And you know, the Lord, as we heard in prayer tonight, never leaves us, he never forsakes us. It's just that very often we don't appreciate, do we, who he is, and that he is with us in every circumstance and every situation. And here the disciples were gathered together, and the Lord just turns up and says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. You know, it's a place, isn't it, of privilege, time in the presence of the Lord. And you know, the disciples would have been completely relieved. Their whole outlook on things would have been completely different as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ was in their midst. And so it is with us, isn't it? It's always good, isn't it, to meet together on an occasion like this. And wherever meetings are convened, whenever we can get together to remember the Lord Jesus on a Lord's Day morning, for a prayer meeting, for Bible study, whatever it is, it's always good, isn't it, to turn up on those occasions, to be present on those occasions. And there's a reminder here, isn't there, in this very verse that it's very notable, really. We read it, didn't we, further down in the chapter, that there was one missing, Thomas. He was missing on that occasion. And we don't know why he was missing, we're not told. But he was missing. And boy, didn't he miss out on a blessing that evening. I often say, I have said many times, I said it to my children, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And I'm talking to the wrong people tonight, because you're all here. But you know, we need to remind ourselves, don't we? It's good not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we miss out if we're not there. We miss out on a blessing. And you know, there are many, many times in my life when I've gone to maybe a prayer meeting on a midweek. I've come in from work, I'm tired. For whatever reason, I just don't feel like going to the meeting. I might even have to admit, I don't even feel like praying sometimes. But you know, whenever I've made the effort to go, the Lord has blessed me. And I'm sure all of you can say the same thing. There are times you just haven't felt like going out, But boy, are you glad you have, because the Lord has blessed you, because you've taken the effort, the time and the effort to be there. You know, the Lord is no man's debtor, is he? And he will always make it up to you. And if you come along to spend time with him, he'll never let you down. He'll always bless you, spiritually, sometimes physically, sometimes mentally. And it'll always be a time of blessing, won't it? But poor old Thomas, you know, on this occasion, he missed out. And we go on through there, and well, we're reminded, aren't we, the words of the Saviour, peace be unto you. Isn't it lovely to hear those words, peace be unto you? And the Lord says to us tonight, peace be unto you. I always remember the text at the Gospel Hall at Wedmore, at the front of the hall, and it was Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much spoken of, isn't there, in this world today about peace. But you know, we're not talking here about a peace that the world can offer. The peace that the world offers is a completely different peace to what the Lord offers. And the peace that the Lord had to offer here was a peace that is beyond understanding. It's a peace that could be had, a peace of a pardoned sinner. The peace that comes because the sacrifice had taken place. The Lord Jesus Christ had shed his life's blood. He had offered himself a sacrifice to God for your sins and for my sins. And you know, he was offering them that peace. He could offer that peace. The peace that he offers you and I tonight, the peace that we enjoy tonight if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have been reconciled back to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it lovely this evening to be able to say that we have been justified because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us? And he looks upon us, we've been reminded again in prayer this evening, haven't we? How that we are looked upon as those who are without sin, cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And I'm sure we can each one relate to that phrase, can't we? Aren't we glad when we see the Lord? How often we perhaps pray on a Lord's Day morning as we meet to remember him, that we might see the Lord. How our hearts are overflowing with joy when we remember him, when we consider what he has done for us, when we consider what he went through for us, when we consider what he continues to do for us as our great high priest, as we consider that one day he's coming again. We only remember him, don't we, until he comes. And he's coming again. And we remember that too, don't we? On the Lord's Day morning, we do it until he come. And joy fills our hearts when we consider him. Maybe we're going through times of trouble. Some of you who are having to watch loved ones go through illnesses. Some of you are going through illness yourself. There are anxieties and different things that all of us have to struggle with day by day. But isn't it lovely when we can have the real joy of the Lord in our hearts? Amidst all the tribulation, amidst all the trouble, amidst all the trials, we can still say that we have joy in our hearts because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we see the Lord, when they saw the Lord, their hearts were glad. And it's good, isn't it, just to read the Word of God day by day and just to remind our hearts that the Lord is always there. He's there to be seen. He's there to be enjoyed. He's there to have that relationship with. And as we've already said tonight, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, perhaps there's a reminder there, or an encouragement there for us. Again, I don't need to tell you this evening because you're already doing it. We've been praying about it this evening. You know, we have the peace of God in our hearts. How selfish it would be to keep that to ourselves. And so we seek, don't we, to go out and to tell others of the peace that can be theirs through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his disciples here their commission, perhaps, that he was going to send them out to be the spokesperson for the salvation that they needed so very much. And, you know, we have that commission, don't we, to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples and to bring people to Christ. We were listening to some of the work that our brother Tim is involved in over the weekend. And I've seen Paul and Clive in Yeovil recently doing the same work. And we've been reminded us this evening, haven't we, of the work that Chris does and many other evangelists that we know who are going out with the gospel. And, you know, there are many today, and I've perhaps been guilty of saying it myself, well, people don't want it. Well, that's rubbish. They do want it. They need it. And it's amazing just when you get talking to people, just how empty people's lives actually are. And they are seeking for something. They don't know what they're seeking for. But they know there's more to life than what they've got. And it's lovely to be able to share with others, isn't it, the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's not keep this peace that we have to ourselves, but let's share it with others. Share it with those around us, those who need the same peace that we have received because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to try and explain that verse to you because nobody's been able to explain it to me. It's a difficult verse. It obviously wasn't the giving of the Holy Spirit that we know of in Acts. But nonetheless, we read here that he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So in some way, they received, either they were receiving the promise of the Holy Ghost, some will say that, the Lord was looking forward to when he would give the Holy Ghost. But I'll leave you to unpack that one for yourselves. But he said it to them very clearly, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, as I say, I'll leave that for you to unpack yourself. I've got my own thoughts on it, but I'm not going to be adamant on it this evening. And then he goes on to say, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, the Lord wasn't here telling the disciples they had the authority to forgive sins. We know, don't we, from Scripture in Luke chapter 5, we are reminded there, who can forgive sins but God only? That's God's prerogative only, to forgive sins. But you know, the disciples were the ones who were to go out with the gospel, as you and I are the ones to go out with the gospel. And we read, don't we, in James chapter 5. A verse came to me as I read that verse. James chapter 5. Verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How is a person forgiven of his sins? Well, first of all, he has to hear the gospel. First of all, he has to be told that he is a sinner in the sight of God. As we know, don't we? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the disciples were going to have that job of going out and telling people you need to get right with God because you are sinners. And you are separated from God because of your sin. And so they would go out and they would, because of their preaching, souls would be converted. Souls would be saved. And as a man or woman comes to Christ having confessed their sins to God and exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so the apostles would be able to tell them their sins are forgiven them. And they had the authority to say that. As men and women come to Christ, you and I have the authority to tell someone their sins are forgiven them if they have come to him in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that we can be forgiven of our sins. When we consider what we are, when we consider who God is, and God is holy, we cannot try to explain, I can't explain what holiness is. None of us can get close to explaining that. All we can say is God is holy. That's it. Full stop. There's nothing to be added to that. God is holy. And when we think about that, when we think of who God is and the fact that he's holy, then we begin to realize, don't we, just how sinful we are. And again, we've been reminding our hearts tonight and thanking the Lord, haven't we, for his goodness in forgiving us of our sins, those who really are undeserving of God's grace. And yet God has shown to us, hasn't he, his mercy and his grace towards us in the giving of his Son, that we might be washed clean of our sin through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, as I said before, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there. I'm not going to speculate why he wasn't there. It may have been through a perfectly legitimate reason why he wasn't there. But he wasn't there. Now, Thomas was one of a twin. We don't know who his twin was. not told. I'm not going to speculate again. Twin Didymus means double or twin. If you can explain why we're told that twice over, then please tell me afterwards. But poor old Thomas, you know, he took a bit of flack, didn't he, really? Well, takes a bit of flack. You know, he got the name of Doubting Thomas. But, you know, I don't think really we can blame Thomas really for what we are about to read about him. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, sadly that is the attitude, isn't it, of many today. Many an unbelieving person has that attitude. Unless I see, I won't believe. And sadly, that is the attitude that many have. And many sadly will die with that attitude. And what a sad position and a sad state that is for those who take that attitude today concerning the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. The stubborn heart of man, you know, it's no different, is it, to what it always has been. Man did that which is right in his own eyes. We're reminded of that, aren't we, way back in, is it Proverbs or the Psalms? But it's no different today. Man does that which is right in his own eyes, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know, you can talk about these things to many people and they just have that hardened attitude, don't they? The hardness of their hearts. The attitude they have, well, prove it, then I'll believe it. Well, we're told here, aren't we? We'll see later on just how much faith is so important when it comes to the things of God. Faith is everything when it comes to the things of God. But Thomas, you know, he should have known better, really, shouldn't he? After all, he has spent time with the Lord. He had been told about the Lord's death, his burial, his resurrection. And somehow he just couldn't understand it. He couldn't believe it. And even when the disciples came to him saying, "We've seen him," he still couldn't believe it. But you know, I wonder if I would have been any different. I wonder if you would have been any different. And you know, I was thinking of this verse earlier on this afternoon, and I've just underlined those four little words there, "I will not believe." And I'm just trying to think of times in my life, perhaps, when I perhaps haven't believed as I should have done. I should have known better. Been on the Christian pathway now for 40 something years, been brought up in a Christian home, been taught the things of God, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I should know better than to doubt the things that I learn, the things that I read in the Word of God. But you know, there are times when I have doubted, and there are times I'm sure where perhaps you have doubted, I don't know. You know, just a couple of examples. We're told, aren't we, to be careful for nothing or to be anxious for nothing. That's a hard one, isn't it? But as believers, God says, "Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Cast all your care upon me, for he cares for you." How many times we're told, aren't we, to cast the care upon him and to leave it there? But so often, we don't cast it far enough, or we don't let go, we draw it back in, and we carry on that with that attitude, don't we, with that care upon our shoulders that we shouldn't do. It's not believing. It's lacking faith. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, at times perhaps I've spent worrying when I shouldn't have worried, because I'm worrying about are my needs going to be met. Not necessarily financial needs, maybe needs in the assembly to do a work for the Lord. You see, the needs that we think we need are sometimes different to the needs that the Lord thinks we need. They're completely different. And you know, God's promises are yea and amen. And we needn't worry. We can trust God. We can trust him with every avenue and every aspect of our lives. When Paul says in Philippians, "My God shall supply all your needs," then that is exactly what he will do. And we just have to have the faith to accept that. And it's difficult sometimes. But, you know, I don't condemn Thomas, because you know, if I was Thomas on that day, maybe I would have been the same as him. I won't believe until I see it. Lord, give me what I need, and then I'll trust you. It's not the way God works sometimes. Sometimes he puts us in those positions to test us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. A favourite verse, isn't it? On a baptism or special occasion for young people or for whoever. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We know these verses so well, but it's very difficult sometimes, isn't it, to apply them when we find ourselves perhaps trusting ourselves or trusting those around us rather than trusting God and trusting our Saviour. You know, we often quote, or I often quote, and I try and apply it to myself more than ever these days, that all things work together for good to those that love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And you know, we need to believe these things. Let's not put a pointer finger at Thomas. Let's just look at our own lives and make sure that we've got our own hearts in order. Make sure that we have absolute confidence in the word of God, in what God has told us in his word, the promises that he's given to us, which are precious promises. The world knows nothing of these promises. The world has every right to be concerned. The world has every right to be worried, because they have no one to supply them. Although, every good gift comes from God anyway. I tried to say that to someone at the Bath and West last week, and I had quite a response. And, you know, it's good, isn't it? Just remind our hearts of these promises sometimes. The Lord will never let us down. And so, I'm not going to put Thomas down this evening. I'm going to put in the same category as what I very often find myself in. As a little bit doubtful sometimes, when we shouldn't be. And so Thomas says, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said again, peace be unto you. Do you think he's trying to get something across to them? Three times, peace be unto you, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. Maybe the Lord's saying to us tonight, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. We're reminded again here, aren't we, of the necessity of faith. Be not faithless. And the Lord will say to us tonight, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, be not faithless, but believing. But believing. This is Hebrews 11, is it? Verse 5 or 6. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to be men and women of faith. We need to be those who have absolute confidence in God and the things of God and the things of his word. And then he will reward us. Thomas then, did he reach forth his hand, his finger? I don't know. I don't think he did, probably. I think a look was probably enough. Maybe the word be not faithless, that little rebuke from the Saviour. Just believe, Thomas. Just believe. Have faith. Thomas would have seen the Lord working miracles in the past. He would have heard the Lord say, peace be still. He would have heard and seen the Lord bring peace in chaotic circumstances on many occasions. And he was just saying to Thomas, look, Thomas, just be at peace. Trust me. Have faith. What was Thomas' response to that? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And the Lord accepted, didn't he, that claim of deity? There's a claim of deity here. Something which so many deny today. The Lord was not God in the flesh. He was a son of a God, or a prophet, a good man, whatever you might say. But here was a claim to deity, and the Lord didn't rebuke him for it. He accepted it because it was a fact. And he could say, "My Lord and my God." Isn't it good when we can say from our hearts, "My Lord and my God"? Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I've got a little note at the bottom of my Bible here that says we honour God by believing his word. We dishonour him when we demand or expect further evidence beyond what he promises and reveals in his word. I'm not sure where I took that quotation from. It's not my own words. I'll admit that. We honour God by believing his word. We dishonour him when we demand or expect further evidence beyond what he promises and reveals in his word. How often we tell the unsaved, "Take God at his word." That's all faith is, taking God at his word. Yet sometimes, you know, we as believers are the worst for doing that. We don't take God at his word. We try to do things our own way. We try to use our own intellect. We try to work out things perhaps we have no business trying to work out. We just need to accept what God says. I had a conversation with someone in the village some time ago. Some of you will know the situation that occurred, and a Christian, or he would call himself a Christian, and just basically was disclaiming so many of the accounts in Scripture. They weren't just real accounts, they were just stories, just to tell a picture, just to show and reveal a truth. Wasn't prepared to accept at face value what God has told us in his word to be absolutely true and correct. God, who cannot lie. We need to take his word, don't we, in its completeness, and to trust it and to believe it in every avenue. We don't understand some of the things that we read. We don't understand perhaps some of the things that God expects us to do in an assembly, but we accept them because God has said it. There's a reason why God's put these things in his Bible, in his book for us. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And he's put it there for a reason. And it's to glorify him, ultimately, and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." Faith without sight is what pleases God the most. Are we those who exercise faith without sight? I trust we are. We have in this book of John's Gospel a very small selection of the things the Lord Jesus Christ did for the purpose of God to be revealed to us. Just a small section, but there's plenty, isn't there, in here? Plenty here that just proves who God is, who proves who Christ was and who Jesus Christ is today. There's plenty in here for you and I to take out onto the streets and to take to those who need the Saviour. Plenty here for us to present to them, to show them who God is. And what they have to do is just to believe it, just as you and I have believed it. May we have the confidence in the Word of God, have the confidence in the Gospel, that it does have the power to save. The Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. Somehow we think it's lost its power. It hasn't lost its power. We've lost our faith, perhaps, but the Gospel hasn't lost its power. It's still as powerful today as it ever has been. We need to just go out there and to share it with more people and to have the faith that God will give the increase. We've been praying tonight for those folks in the old people's home, for those who come in perhaps on a Sunday evening, others perhaps who you talk to during the week. And you know, the seed is being sown. I trust that we're watering that seed with our prayers. Let's have faith that God will give the increase in his own time. Finally, in the final couple of chapters, verses, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Is it the end of the next chapter, I think, isn't it, that we read? Yeah, verse 25 of chapter 21. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You know, such were the wonderful things that the Lord did. If everything was written down, even the world could not contain them. You know, there are so many books written about the person of Christ. The Bible is still the best-selling book. You know, it's interesting, wasn't it? I heard someone the other day saying, how many of us would buy a book twice? You know, you might see a book, you want to read it. So you buy it, you read it, and you put it on the bookshelf. You don't go and buy another one, do you? Read it again. And yet the Bible, people would buy, I don't know how many Bibles I've got. I've got several Bibles. And we just keep buying Bibles and we love Bibles. It's the best book ever. It's the most popular book ever. And it will endure forever. And yet it's probably, in many cases, a neglected book. A neglected book. I trust it's not neglected in my case. And in your case, I have to say, there are times in my life when it has been neglected. I don't know anything like as much as I should know, as I'd like to know, because I haven't studied as I should have done in the past. And you know, it's just down to me. Can't blame anybody else for that. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to take this book and to read it and to understand that these things are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It's important to recognize there, isn't it? It's no good just believing that Jesus was a person. No good just believing that Jesus was even the Son of God that died on a cross. We have to believe and accept Jesus as to who he is in his completeness. That he was and is the Son of God. That he's equal with God. That he came to die for your sins and for my sins. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day, that he ascended back into heaven, that he's coming again to rule this world. We have life through his name, that name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day that will happen. What a day that will be. We need to make sure we recognize that and explain to people. You know, James tells us, doesn't he, that it's no good just believing in God. The devils believe in God and they tremble because they know what's coming. It's no good just believing in God. There are many people who say, oh, I believe in God. When you unpack that, you realize their God is a completely different God to the God of the Bible, to the God of heaven. It's a God that they've made up to suit their lifestyle, to suit their pattern of life, to suit their circumstances. We need to make sure that we present Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the one who, when we believe in him and trust his complete work at Calvary, is the one who is able to give eternal life, to give peace with God through his name. Isn't it lovely that the result is peace with God? And I guess if we want to underline anything this evening, it's those four words, peace be unto you. The Lord offers that peace. The Lord gives that peace. You can know that peace. I can know that peace. We do know that peace, don't we, very often. But you know, it's possible to know that peace every minute of every day if we just spend time with his word, time speaking to him, time thinking about him, time just giving our lives over to him. That's the way, isn't it, to enjoy the peace that he offers to us, a peace that the world knows nothing of. A peace that the world cannot offer, but a peace that you and I can know and enjoy through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust these few thoughts might be a help to us, an encouragement to us, and might encourage us to go out there into this world where there is no peace and offer them a peace through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time spent in thy presence here this evening. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the one who it reveals to us, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that we have come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Our Father, we give thanks for that peace that we have in our hearts. We thank thee, our Father, for reminding our hearts this evening, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we give thanks again here this evening for the Lord Jesus, for that one, our Father, who came from the glory of heaven to the sin-filled world, our Father, knowing he would be despised, rejected of men, knowing, our Father, he would become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, knowing, our Father, he would have to go through those hours of darkness upon that cross, separated from thee, our God, whilst he endured the suffering for sin. Our Father, we give thanks for that one who was prepared to go through death, to come out the other side victorious, our Father. Our Father, we give thanks that he ascended back into thy presence. He's now in thy presence, interceding, our Father, even this very moment on our behalf. We give thanks, our Father, he's coming again one day to receive us to himself. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. Our Father, we give thanks for these precious promises. We give thanks, our Father, for this blessed hope that we have. We pray, loving God, it might be more real to us day by day. As our Father, we give you thanks now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.